Pray with me this morning, my brothers. Lord, you heard the prayers from Martin while he was locked away in a Birmingham jail. You gave confidence to Malcolm while he languished in a prison cell as he transformed his worldview from little to large. You spoke patience and perseverance to the spirit of Mandela, who for 26 years stood defiant at the Robben Island Penitentiary, and you walked him out to be the president. So speak to us as we pray. Give us voice, we pray. Teach us to bolster our perseverance on this special day. Amen. Oh, it's more than just Monday, my brothers, for not only is this a day that the Lord has made, it is a day made for reflection, for revisitation of the stony road we trod, and recommitment to our task to make all people free. I am Roy Johnson, and I greet you on this majestic Monday of remembering Martin, that the Lord has given to each of us, and reminds us that it must be more than just a day off. My brothers, I'm saddened to announce the passing of the father of our immediate past, Grand Chaplain Bishop Walter H. Richardson, father to our beloved brother Walter T. Richardson, who we cannot let stand alone in mourning this loss. Brother Richardson is the guest speaker at an MLK prayer breakfast this morning. Let us pray for strength for him and stand by him in the coming days of this season of sadness. You know, isn't it good to know that Omega Men will stand with you, particularly elected leadership who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord, and moreover the past and present grand officers who set the example before us as we call on the Lord. Oh, praying with us this blessed day are our first vice grand basilisk, Mark Jackson, our grand keeper of finance, Johnny Smith, our grand keeper of records, and Seal Sherman Charles, our grand counselor, Clement O'Shemetha, all humbling themselves as they join with us in our petition for God's goodness and grace. We all take care of Omega Business, led by GB42 Ricky Lawrence Lewis, one whose spirit teaches us daily that if serving is below us, then leadership is beyond us. My brothers, it speaks volumes to know that our present grand officers are walking the path of those leaders who journeyed before them, stalwart leaders like GB35 Dorsey Miller and GB40 Antonio Knox, who are with us each day. And don't they display before us each and every day an attitude of gratitude to our God? And did not our prayer line founders, Staccato Powell and Ray Johnson, strike gold when they envisioned this ministry almost 8 years ago? Hasn't their genius drawn us closer to God and closer to each other? And let us not forget our immediate past Grand Chaplain, Walter T., for showing us how to approach the throne of grace with humility and sincerity, even though now his heart is heavy. All three are usually with us each and every day. Brothers, on this weekend of King Day celebration, I've asked Brother Clark McGriff to come before us this morning to remind us of both dedication and duty that is ours to give on this King holiday. I ask him to remind us, because if we don't salvage our history correctly, tell our story precisely, and preserve its reverence steadfastly, the day will soon come when we'll be talking about what used to happen on the third Monday in January. Brother McGriff, hit star 6 and help us to understand today's significance. The line is yours, sir.
Thank you, Brother Grant. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Good morning, men of Omega. I'm Clark McGriff, New Psi Fall 74, currently with Chi Iota Iota here in Columbia, South Carolina. And at our State House today, our annual speaker for the MLK Assembly will be Benny Thompson, the chairperson who led the January 6th committee. We look so forward to that. What a marvelous day it is, brothers. And, you know, I was thinking as we dealt with that static on the line as we were about to come on, I was reminded of what the static has been for African Americans in this nation since we came here in 16 and 19, but yet we pushed through nonetheless. Next month I will be 68 years old on the 5th of February. And if you do the math, you'll see that I am literally a child of the civil rights movement, born and raised in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a town of segregation. I can remember vividly my father and I, when I was 5 years old, going to the movies downtown. It was a white movie, and we had to walk, climb the stairs on the side of the building where we would sit in the balcony. I remember my father, a World War II veteran, now gone home with the Lord, who had menial jobs, but a World War II vet who was literally wounded in war but never received the Purple Heart. And he, having menial jobs throughout his life, support our family. I was born on the year that Emmett Till was murdered in Money, Mississippi, just 6 months old I was. I was 10 months old when Rosa Parks took her seat on the bus. 5 years old when the students at my alma mater, North Carolina A&T, took their seats at the Woolworth lunch counter. 8 years old when the March on Washington happened on the 28th of August of 63. A month later, the 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed, and young children my own age, four young girls were killed. I was, again, 8 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. Malcolm X was assassinated when I was 10 years old. In 68, when King was assassinated, I was 13 years old, and our city, Winston-Salem, blew up in flames in riots that night. I remember that. In fact, a classmate of mine, Michael Baker, downtown where he should not have been, was shot by police. He did not die, but he was still involved in that terrible situation. 28 years old. In 1983, when the MLK Day was signed reluctantly by Ronald Reagan, he had sided with Jesse Hams and others, believing that King was in fact a communist. And so I've lived my life watching and participating in the civil rights movement and being a product of it and a recipient of the signed laws. And so in 1986, when Reagan signed, when the law came into effect and the first MLK Day was experienced in America, I remember that so vividly. In the 15th of July in 2015, I was standing at the Capitol of South Carolina when the flag, the Confederate flag, came down. And so my life has been merged and washed in the whole civil rights movement. And so I believe that January 15th, or the third Monday in January, is a significant day. And I thank God for the perseverance of so many who have come before me, but who still fight on now. And it is a significant day for all of us, brothers. Someone said just the other day that we are part, still part of the talented 10th. And as Omega men, I believe that we ought to be a part, and not only be a part, but be leaders in this whole march toward liberty, this whole march toward rights for our people. I'm so delighted, brothers, to share my experiences this morning. And I'm so delighted to be a member of Omega Psi Phi as we continue to uplift one another and the nation and the world as we go forward. Thank you, Brother Grant, so much for giving me this splendid opportunity. May the Lord bless and keep us all, and may he bless Brother Richardson in this time of grief. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Brother McGriff. Thank you for helping us to remember. Brothers, it's Monday, and that means we have our brother, the Reverend Chris McCroy of the 8th District, standing on the wall today. Hear him come before us, yet with a steady beat and with weary feet, but he stands ready to lift his voice and sing Reassuring Liberty. He is presenting our lesson and prayer for all Omega, as he daily does for the 8th District of Omega Nation. Hear him remind us what brother-to-brother solidarity and unity can bring us. Come stand before us, Brother McCroy. Men of Omega are listening.
To all of you, my brothers, it is certainly a joy and a privilege to greet you this morning. And as always, I greet you with Jesus' joy, a joy that the world did not give and therefore the world cannot take away. I also greet you this morning in the spirit of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose message, methods, and ministry we celebrate today. What delight it is to know that such a great man was also influenced and mentored by men of this fraternity, Omega men such as the Reverend Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. I greet you this morning, my brothers, as we look towards the book of Genesis. Brothers, our God is a sovereign God. This truth ought to uplift our spirits along our daily walk, because it is a reminder that nothing can and nothing will catch our God off guard. Nothing takes our God by surprise. Every experience in this life, from the most pleasant to the most painful, has been planned and permitted by God for a very special and specific purpose. Isn't it good news to know that God's plans are not dictated by human actions? When other systems and other individuals intend evil toward us, God has supreme authority to manipulate their malicious intent into a tool that propels us closer to God's purpose for our lives. Oh, Joseph was certainly a witness to this truth, my brothers. As we place our spiritual stethoscope to the heart of Joseph this morning, we discover a man that has experienced a great deal of trials, turbulence, and tribulations. Joseph was a man that had been wounded by the loss of his mother and wounded by the mistreatment of his brothers. Overwhelmed with jealousy for the favoritism that their father showed towards Joseph, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Yes, Joseph's very own brothers developed such hatred and envy towards their brother that they kidnapped him and had even orchestrated a plan to murder him. I imagine that the faith and the trust in God's sovereignty was not easy for Joseph to maintain. When Joseph's brothers left him in a cistern to die, did Joseph wonder if God had forgotten about him? When Potiphar put him into a prison, did Joseph wonder if God had forgotten all about him? When the cupbearer neglected to remember Joseph to Pharaoh, I have to wonder if Joseph wondered if God had forgotten all about him. Through our studies over the course of the past few days, we know that God did not forget about Joseph. There is evidence in the scriptures that remind us that God was with Joseph the entire time. And, oh, my brothers, that is good news for someone this morning. There may be someone on the prayer line this morning that has been dealing with suffering, solitude, and sadness. But our lesson today encourages us that our sovereign Lord is with us every step of the way. Despite the clouds that may be hovering over our lives right now, we can take solace in knowing that God is still with us. Even in the midst of loss, God is still with us. Even in the midst of rejection, God is still with us. Even in the midst of heartache, I tell you that God is still with us. Even in the midst of racism and discrimination, God is still present with us. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in everything that he did. And I assure you that God will do the same for each and every one of us. Today's lesson is the culmination of Joseph's story. After twice planting evidence on his brothers that would ensure their return to Egypt, Joseph finally reveals that he is the brother they sold into slavery. When Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he tells them that God has done all of this. God was working through this whole story. The scripture tells us that if you had not thrown me into the pit, brothers, none of God's good plan would have come about. All of these wounds happened for a reason, and through them God's salvation is coming. God's healing of this land is coming. Although Joseph's brothers intended to get rid of him, God used even their actions to fulfill his ultimate plan. God sent Joseph ahead to preserve the lives of his entire family, to save Egypt, and to prepare the way for the beginning of the nation of Israel. We are reminded today, my brothers, that despite the wounds others may cause us, we still have a responsibility to heal and to forgive. Joseph is one of many examples of one who was wounded but used by God to heal those that mistreated him. These people are individuals, my brothers, who have been healed and by the grace of God, even turned to people and extended a helping hand. People with wounds who were healed by the grace of God turned into the people and who then intended to heal them and those around them. My brothers, we not only find an example of this in Joseph, but we find an example in the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who stands as an example of one that was abused and mistreated, but sought the help and to uplift the entire global world community. But the greatest example, my brothers, is the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Through his suffering, we have all been healed. Thank God for sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. There are those, my brothers, who had to suffer a great deal, but God healed their spirits and used them to heal those around them. And we, too, must understand that our wounds do not disqualify us from being used by God. Know that there's a divine purpose behind the hills we must climb. There's a divine purpose behind the tears that we have to cry. There's a divine purpose behind the valleys that we must navigate. We may not understand how or why we have to endure the many vicissitudes of life, but trust and know that God has an intended purpose for it all. I believe, my brothers, as we close, that that's why the songwriter penned these words. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better. By and by, that third verse speaks to me in a special way. It says, temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for any thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when all we're trying to do is our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far along the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning first to say thank you. We thank you, O God, for last night's laying down and this morning's rising up. We thank you, O God, because we recognize that last night could have been our last night, but you woke us up this morning as a sign that you still have work left for us to do. And so, God, we gather around the throne of grace this morning not only to express gratitude, but we also come to lift up our cares, our concerns, and our petitions to you. We don't come this morning, God, to inform you of anything because we know that you're already aware. We know that you're an all-knowing God. But we come to you this morning, O God, as a sign of faith that we've searched all over and we found that there's no one who can step in and heal like you. So, God, we lift up the family of Bishop Walter Harris Richardson, the father of our immediate past Grand Chaplain Reverend Walter T. Richardson. God, we thank you for the meaning of the brotherhood and the friendship that Brother Richardson has brought to each and every one of us. We thank you, O God, for the moments and the days that he prayed for us when we were going through loss. And we pray, O God, that you make us ready to stand by his side as he deals with this season of loss. But God, we also trust and we know that his Father is in the hollow of your hands, that he's not truly lost, O God, because we know where he is. And so we pray that we stand by and comfort Brother Richardson, O God, as he has done for us so many times before. We lift up, O God, Brother Roger Jackson, whose mother was hospitalized this past Friday. We pray, O God, that you heal as only you can. We pray, O God, that you restore as only you can. We also lift up Brother Peterson of the 2nd District and his wife Stephanie as they deal with the flu. But God, even in the midst of dealing with the flu, we thank you that they're not dealing with COVID-19. We thank you that they've tested negative for COVID-19, but we still ask, O God, that you comfort them as they deal with this sickness. We pray for the entire Lathan family in the transition of Mrs. Judith Lathan, O God. We pray, O God, that although the family is dealing with her physical loss, and as they've lost a mother, a grandmother, a friend, a confidant, we pray that you step in right on time, O God, that in those late midnight hours when tears come to their eye, we pray that you comfort them, O God, comfort their heart, and let them know that you are by their side. Bless the entire Peterson and Lathan family right now, O God. We also lift up Brother Fred Whitted as he and his family prepare to endure the murder trial for his sister that was senselessly murdered in Olivet, Missouri in 2020. We pray, O God, that as that family goes through this tenuous and tumultuous trial, O God, that you comfort them as only you can. Allow them to feel the effects of our prayer even now. O God, we even ask for a season of revival at Second Baptist Church in Piedrichtown, New Jersey. We pray, O God, that you allow your Holy Spirit to be felt in the church each and every Sunday. God, we pray for every church that is open in your name right now. God, we lift up the family of Brother Kenneth Kirby, who transitioned to Omega Chapter. We also lift up the family of Brother Leroy Atkins. God, we know that as these brothers have transitioned into Omega Chapter, two great trees have fallen. But we pray, O God, that you allow us to be the brotherhood that stands by their side, that we comfort their families in this season of loss as you comfort us, the brothers of your fraternity. We love you, O God, and we thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and all that you're getting ready to do. Continue to lead us and guide us, O God, and we stand ready to give your name all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, O God, for this day of celebration. Thank you for this moment of prayer, and thank you for being God and God all by yourself. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one that gave his life on Calvary's cross one Friday, but who rose early Sunday morning. It's in the name of that Jesus that we do pray this prayer and know that all is well. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, brother.
Well done, brother. Well done. Amen. God bless you all.
Have a great MLK day, brother.
Amen. Happy MLK Day, brother.
Amen, brother.
Right, brother Kirk. Prayers going up for Dr. Walter T. Richardson and his family. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Brother Richardson.
Brother, bless the Lord.